Now, I want to ask you a question. Remember in the beginning I said to you, whenever we've heard that wonderful scripture from Philippians 4:19 about God's riches in glory, right? And it's like, wow, that's a great scripture. God's riches in glory. He's got all that stuff for us up in heaven, amen. But how do we get it down here, right? That was my question to you at the beginning of this session. Here's the answer. Notice that scripture doesn't say that God will supply for all our needs according to his riches in heaven. It uses the word glory. Why? Because see, heaven is a fixed place. It's the abode of God. It's a fixed place. It's God says it's unmovable, right? It's unmovable. So God, you're a genius, God. He's a genius, man. He knew that we would need to be able to get those riches down here. Scripture is very specific about its wording. It's not just general. I mean, when we hear the word glory, we automatically equate it with the heavens, right? And it's used to describe heaven, the fixed abode of God. But God did not choose in his wisdom to use the word heaven in that scripture. He used the word glory, that our riches are stored up in glory. Why? Because heaven is a fixed place, but glory is transferable. That's the way we get it, you see, because it's inside the glory. And the glory has creative power, and it can be transferred from that fixed abode of heaven down here to earth. That's why it says riches in glory. Wow. Do you get that? I mean, whoa, okay. Yeah? Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, you're so cool. Oh, we've had so many miracles happen, and this is one of the strategies God gave us to have all those miracles I told you about at the beginning of this session happen. It's one of the tools. We're going to teach you the rest of the tools, more of the tools, you know, this afternoon, this evening, but this is one of the tools that you can use to start causing things to happen. How many of you have had a vision or a dream about finances coming to you or increase coming to you? Maybe you saw a diamond or you got a credit card from an angel or any of these things, right? How many? Raise your hands again. Let's see. What do you do with that? Do you just sit on it? No, no, no. God is showing you the riches that are contained for you in glory. Now you got to get them out. You know how to do it now. Now you got to get them out. So what do? You take the dream. You take the vision. And you begin to learn how to cultivate an open heaven glory cloud in your home. And then when the glory hits, then you begin to speak that vision. You begin to speak that dream into the presence of the cloud. Stop praying for things outside the cloud. You'll be praying for things for 10, 15 years and they never come to pass. But inside the cloud is acceleration and creative power. I remember when God told me, I want you to start decreeing the 700 Club anytime the glory hits. So I did. The glory hit for like 3 days in a row in my house. I'm like, 700 Club, 700 Club, 700 Club. They called 4 days later and did a story on me. Yeah, there's acceleration in the glory. Amen. Okay, I remember when we got the $250,000 blessing that my husband and I got. His company received a $250,000 job after he had been unemployed and the company had completely gone out of under and almost completely out of business and everything else. Received one of the biggest jobs they've ever had. Do you know how it came? The Lord showed me a vision one day. Showed my husband trotting over to a safe, opening up the safe, bringing out a little pillow with a diamond on it. And I'm like, whoa, look at that. Came out of it and I said, what do you want me to do with it, Lord? See, most of us will go, wow, that's really cool. Can't wait for that to happen, God. No, God's showing it to you so you know this is what I have in the glory and now I need to pull it out. Okay? So God said, I want you to decree it in the glory. So I began to. Every time the glory hit, I would say, I loose that diamond in the presence of the glory. I create that diamond in the presence of the glory. Once again, a week later, those people called and he got the job. Do you understand the importance of this? Now I want to show you scripturally how Jesus thought, why Jesus thought this was so important, okay? In Mark 6, it records Jesus feeding the 5,000. It's like in Mark 6 and in Luke 9, I think. Afterwards, listen, the disciples get in a boat. They cross over the lake to the town of Bethsaida, and on the trip, they face a storm. Remember that whole thing? They're in the boat rowing, and Jesus is up on the mountain, and he sees that they're rowing against the wind and stuff. So he starts walking out on the water towards them, right? And when it looks like he's going to pass them by. But then when they see him, they start freaking out, right? And it says, when they saw him, quote, they were agitated, troubled, filled with fear and dread. But immediately he talked with them and he said, take heart. I am. Stop being alarmed and afraid. And he went up in the boat with them, and the wind ceased and sank to a rest as if exhausted by its own beating. And they were astonished exceedingly upon measure. Now listen to this. For they, quote, failed to consider or understand the teaching of the miracle of the loaves. When God gave me that scripture, I said, what are you trying to tell me, God? He said, I'm talking about financial storms. I said, oh. You see, here it was. We're just like the disciples. When a financial storm hits, we start freaking out. But Jesus told the disciples, look, you have no reason to fear the storm, because through the miracle of the loaves, through the feeding of the 5,000, I told you how you could totally create your environment. I showed you how to open the heavens. I showed you how to use the glory cloud and how to multiply this tiny little bit of bread into enough bread to feed 5,000 people. Stop freaking out. And now he had showed them how to do it, and he wanted them to start doing it themselves. Now listen to more proof of this. Listen to this again. The same scenario happens again, this time in Matthew 16 and Mark 8 of the Amplified. It says this, that Jesus is now feeding the 4,000 people with only 7 loaves of bread, and he does the exact same thing. Okay, he does the exact same thing. He uses thanksgiving and praise to open the heavens, okay? And then when the glory cloud descends, he speaks a blessing over the bread into the cloud, and the bread multiplies. Now, afterwards, he and the disciples are in a boat. This time, the disciples forget to bring bread, okay? And Jesus starts talking about the leaving of the Pharisees, right? And as they're listening to him talk about the leaving of the Pharisees, they start reasoning amongst themselves, he must be saying this because we forgot the bread, right? Well, when Jesus, figured out what they were saying, he started to discern what was going on. Listen to what his response was. He says, and being aware of this, Jesus said to them, why are you reasoning and saying it is because we have no bread? Do you not yet discern or understand? Are your hearts in a settled state of hardness? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Do you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many small hand baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said, 12. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many large provision baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said, 7. And he kept on repeating to them, do you not yet understand? Whoa, does Jesus sound a little irritated here or what? Yes, he's being very pointed and very strong with them. How come? Because he can't believe that they still didn't get it. 2 times now, he had showed them exactly how to create provisions. 2 times he'd showed them how to open the heavens with thanksgiving and praise. 2 times he showed them how to cause the glory cloud to descend. 2 times he showed them that if you lift the bread up into the cloud and speak creative power and command it to prosper into the cloud, it will prosper. He had showed them that you could take a little bit and feed thousands. And now he was expecting them to do the same. But yet here they were, worried about not bringing any bread with them. Jesus must have been like, look, I just showed you how to make bread. Why are you worried about not having any bread? Do I look like I'm worried about not having any bread? Why don't you just make some bread? Jesus, we need to start walking this truth out. You've seen how irritated Jesus is. He's saying, look, stop freaking out during the financial storm. I've given you a supernatural tool, and it's real. It is real. It can really cause a manifestation of finances for you. I want you to start walking in it. I want you to start doing it. I want you to start believing it, just like you know your hand is in front of your face. That's how real this is, and that's how much it works. Listen to me. Stop writing out your checks to your cable company and your mortgage checks and all your other stuff without first cultivating an open heaven glory realm in your house. The day you pay your bills every month should be the most prosperous day of your life, of every month. You should be going, woohoo, tomorrow I get to pay the bills. Yeah, I'm expecting increase, baby. Okay? You should be working and contending, not against your worry and your stress, but contending for the presence of the cloud in your home. And then when you go to pay your bills, before you start writing the check or doing your electronic transfers, that you are first worshiping God. Using your thanksgiving to open the gate. Using your praise to cause his glory to fall. Getting a tangible manifestation of his glory. And then begin to speak and command everything that you're writing out, all the checks, to multiply in the presence of the Lord. You're going to start making money when you pay your bills. When's the last time you put an offering into the bucket and you actually stopped and looked up and commanded the heavens to open, and then commanded your check, your offering, your seed to multiply in the glory? Don't ever give another offering unless you're first commanding it to multiply in the glory. Ever. I wait for that moment. You know, boy, I'm dropping names. I don't know if I'm allowed to do that. Well, there's a very person, I'm sure you know the name if I told you, but this person is so has the glory realm, right? And he actually came up in a meeting the other day and was the first thing that he was in charge of taking the offering. And I'm sitting in the way back. Okay, he's in charge of taking the offering. And he comes up and he doesn't start preaching first about the offering. The first thing he says is, I would command a realm of glory to open up. Because he knows, he understands, he's about to take an offering, and he wants people that sow into it to actually have a manifestation of fruit. And I'm sitting in the back, and I felt it. It was like a wave. I went, poosh, and I went, where's the checkbook? I couldn't wait to get the money out, because I know that I'm going to be making so much money with the creative power that was present in that glory realm. Amen? Ooh, we have to learn how to open the heavens. Okay, so I'm going to give you some steps. We've kind of talked along the way about them, but I'm going to give you some simple steps that'll help you in your quest to have glory realm in your house. We need to become knowledgeable about the glory. We need to become carriers of the cloud. Habakkuk 2 says, in verse 4, it says, but the time is coming when the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You've got to get knowledgeable about the glory. It says the earth is covered with the knowledge of the glory. What does that mean? That means when you begin to understand the glory, how it works, what it feels like, how you can cause it to manifest in your house, that you'll become a carrier of the glory cloud. And then when everyone starts getting that same thing down and understanding and being knowledgeable about the glory, they too will become a carrier of the cloud. Okay? Let me give you some tips on how to start. First of all, as you begin to spend time in worship and as you praise and thank God so that you can get the heavens to open, the very first thing you need to do is wash in the blood of Jesus. Remember what John the Baptist said? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Remember what Jesus said? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The blood of Jesus removes any hindrances that might be in us that would cause the heavens to stay closed. When we repent and we're washed in the blood, the heavens will open. Matthew 5:20 says, I tell you, unless your righteousness, your uprightness and upright standing with God is more than that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You'll never get the gate open and you'll never get into the kingdom where the glory is. According to that scripture, you got to be like, as righteous as the Pharisees. Well, you know what? The Pharisees even tithed out their spices. They were ridiculous. How can we ever do that? Well, our righteousness is in Christ Jesus. Okay? He is our righteousness. Now, I want you to listen to this scripture from Ephesians 1 to show you how the progression is, the order. That when you're washed in the blood, that you'll have access to the things of heaven and how heaven and earth will come together. In Ephesians 1, verse 7, it says this, in him we have redemption through his blood, the remission, forgiveness of our offenses, shortcomings, and trespasses. Then it goes on to say, after we're washed in his blood, he will, quote, verse 8, lavish upon us every kind of wisdom and understanding. Verse 9, making known to us the mystery and the secret of his will, which is this, listen, to unify all things, both things in heaven and things on earth. Heaven and earth come together at the cross, people. When we're washed in the blood, it removes all the hindrances, and the heavens can then open. I remember I've had times when I've been contending, where's the glory of God? And I'm contending, I'm on hour number 3, what's going on? And he's like, you have sin on you. I can't open the heavens. Wash in my son's blood first. And I would do that, and bam, the glory would come. Just like that. So we must wash in the blood before we begin our pursuit. Number 2, spend focused time in thanksgiving and prayer. Focus, people, focus. I mean, I'll just do an experiment. Start talking to me. Just start saying, hi, Katie, how you doing? Or, oh, excuse me, were you talking to me? Notice how distracted I was? Picking my nails, flipping my hair back, when she's trying to talk to me. Don't do that to God. It's not going to open the heavens. Okay? You got to stay focused, man. That is our part. Listen to me. It says that we offer a sacrifice of praise. Okay? That is our part. You don't have to start contending in all these other areas. Your job is to contend to keep your focus, to honor God by keeping your mind on Him. When you keep your mind on Him as you're doing your opening the gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise, that's when the breakthrough will come. So that means you'll be going, oh, Jesus, you're so awesome. I give you the praise. You're fantastic. I just love you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I worship you. What time is it, man? I got to put that laundry in. Boy, I've got 5 loads to do. I'll never get done. Oh, Jesus, I'm sorry. Here I go. Jesus, I'm back. I'm back, Jesus, and I love you, Jesus. And that's going to happen about 15 times or more, 15,000 times on some days. But that's your way to show Jesus how much you love Him, by taking your mind away from that distracting thought and putting the focus on Him. Self-awareness is not God-awareness. If you're thinking about anything that has to do with you or somebody else that may have hurt your feelings or said something to you, then you need to forgive them, repent, and get focused on Jesus. Jesus.